Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here's a question almost everyone has to face. What choice might you make for yourself or someone you love when thinking of aging? Assisted living, care at home, long-term care insurance? Actually, the biggest question of all is, will you be able to afford care, and will you be able to find it? Jordan Rau is senior correspondent at KFF Health News, the independent organization formerly called the Kaiser Family Foundation, having nothing to do with Kaiser Permanente Insurance, getting that out of the way. Jordan has co-written a big investigative series with the New York Times called Dying Broke, and he joins us now. Jordan, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And in like the headline, you know, we can't sugarcoat this conversation. You found that paid care, either at home or in a living center, is out of reach for most Americans. There's a shortage of home caregivers. For-profit caregivers raised their rates during the pandemic. Long-term care insurance has largely been a failure. We can, you know, tell people why, but this is a grim picture.
Yeah, particularly for the middle class. You know, there are millions of Americans, elderly people who can't live independently, and they need some sort of support, as you point out, either, you know, just partially at home or maybe an assisted living facility. And most of that type of care is now beyond their reach. And in many cases, it eats up some or a majority or even all of their assets.
Yeah.
And Americans are really sort of left alone on this because it's just not, people think that it's well covered, you know, they'll be covered by Medicare, and that's not the case. Yeah. And a lot of the responsibilities ends up falling to the families of the people.
Okay, let's remind people, Medicare is for the elderly primarily. It only pays for short-term rehab. Medicaid is largely for the very poor, children in poor families. It does cover long-term care, but with restrictions, and the rules vary state to state. So I'm going to just reprise a little story here that some listeners have heard. It's the story of my mom, if you don't mind, because it underscores what you found. You know, we, her children, bought her home, greatest thing we ever did, but we didn't even realize that when she began to fail, it was truly going to be a great thing we had done because it wasn't considered an asset for her. You know, so we spent down her few assets on her care so she could qualify for Medicaid in New York State. In New York State, she was covered 24/7 in the home again that wasn't her asset. She would have had to pay down the value of that home in order to get on Medicaid. So she had 24-hour care. I would rather, though, have brought her to be with me in Massachusetts, but here in Massachusetts, she would only, as a Medicaid patient, have qualified for 2 hours care in my home, and I had to work, so I couldn't do that. So just start there with, you really have to check and see state to state what the rules are.
You know, that's exactly right. One of the people we wrote about, Gay Glenn, she moved from Chicago to Kansas to take care of her mother. There, she ended up going on Medicaid, and she died, actually, during the course of our reporting. And Gay had to sell the house and had to repay Medicaid for the care that her mom got in the nursing home. And that's the case in a lot of places where Medicaid will recoup the money. So you don't even, you know, an asset that someone like your mom might have wanted to leave or bequest to the kids just ends up being taken by the state.
It will be seized. Well, the stories are heartbreaking. You who had someone who had taken her grandfather who had dementia and was so desperate to try to get help for him that she abandoned him at a psychiatric hospital to force some action. That's a terrible story. But I will say that, you know, in my mom's case, I did want to bring her here, but then I couldn't find, as this woman that I just mentioned couldn't find, I couldn't find beds anywhere, even though she was on Medicaid. And finally, I paid hundreds of dollars to a consultant who said to me, okay, here's what you do. You offer them cash for the first couple months, and a bed will magically open up. And it did, but it was too late. She fell and died a few days later, at Christmas, by the way. You know, I guess I'm expressing what a lot of listeners might be feeling. It is just insane-making how hard it is to find a place and the different rules you have to make your way through while you're also trying to take care of someone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And your experience was even before things got even worse in terms of the shortage of workers that has, you know, hit from the pandemic and onward. Now, if you're trying to hire someone for home, it's much harder and it's much more expensive than it was a decade ago. But I think that your point is exactly right. And one of the real frustrating things about this system, if you want to call it a system, it's really more like a Byzantine patchwork, is that, you know, if you're an adult child of someone or a friend or guardian and trying to take care of someone, you already have so much on your hands to try and find a place that works for them, to deal with the emotional issues, which are huge, to deal with what this does to family dynamics, and then to add on top of it the affordability or lack thereof just makes it just confounding to many people.
We'll throw out some more of these depressing statistics, but how did we get here? Yes, we know there's the baby boomers are aging out. It's a huge population. But I was shocked to see that the long-term care insurance industry hadn't planned for that.
Yeah, the long-term care insurance industry is really just, you know, is a story of real failures in foresight and in actuarial decisions. And they made a bunch of mistakes decades ago that people are literally still paying for. They thought that fewer people would live as long who were buying the insurance as they ended up doing. They didn't take into full account how expensive these places would become. And they also gambled that people would drop the insurance, you know, that they'd be paying for a bunch of decades and then just drop it. And as a result of that, people who keep it have found over the last decade their premiums going up just stratospherically, doubling over the course of some years in some cases, and having to either drop it or drastically scale back the benefits. You know, aside from all these mistakes, the problem is that a voluntary insurance market, whether it's public or private, just doesn't work.
You write about the CLASS Act. It was Obamacare legislation in 2010. It was supposed to give people the option of paying into a long-term insurance program. It was repealed. And then another proposal called the WISH Act from a couple years ago talked about a long-term care trust fund. That didn't get any traction, you tell us. Is there any sense of something that can help?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something that we went looking for. And we found a couple of examples. You know, Washington State has started its own public mandatory insurance program for long-term care. It's just getting off the ground now. And that, you know, is certainly a model that several other states are looking at. The downside of that is that the benefit that they pay, the maximum, is just $36,000. And, you know, in Seattle, that's not going to get you an assisted living facility for more, you know, half a year if you're lucky. But that is a model. On the federal level, we found zero interest on either party to really tackle this problem.
Well, and as you point out, other countries, Britain, France, Canada, Germany, Sweden, devote more dollars. They just devote more dollars towards long-term care.
That's right. But, you know, they also have other ways that just make it, even in little ways, make it a little bit more navigatable. I mean, Japan has caseworkers that are assigned to people to help them work through the system. I mean, that's obviously a far cry from what the Netherlands has, where they're going to have, they have three separate public programs to help people, both, you know, locally and through public insurance. And, you know, we do have a safety net. I don't want to downplay the value of Medicaid. It's really a lifeline for a lot of people who get down there. But again, if you're not destitute, you know, there's nothing really that this country is currently offering.
Jordan Rao, there are a lot of people living exactly what you're talking about. So for those who are now just completely gobsmacked by being in this situation, can't find care, are running up debt, trying to care for, let's say, an elderly parent. First, do you have just one word of advice for them, something they should think about?
One of the greatest resources that we found that we recommend for people is to go to their local area agency on aging. And those are, you know, AAA, but it's not the CAR group. And those are community organizations that are funded by the federal government that are really expert in helping you navigate what your resources are, both in terms of funding and support that way, and also in finding a place if you need to put someone into a nursing home or into assisted living. So those are very valuable resources, and they're in every community.
Jordan Rao, senior correspondent at KFF Health News. Thank you so much.
It was so great to be here. Thanks, Robin.